James Hollis, welcome back to the Dunk Tales podcast, which is me and you just talking about basketball.
It's mostly me.
It's mostly you. Well, you're the only one with good takes. I just sit here and ramble.
No, this time you actually came up with most of the rundown, so I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I mean, it's like 3 weeks old, but it's still a rundown nonetheless.
No. I updated a little bit.
Yeah, you
so.
Did. You did. Do you want to hop right into it, or you want to tell me about how your week's been?
I do not, and nobody cares about how my week's been.
Everyone loves you, my friend. You just don't know.
All right. We'll run a poll from Dunktail to see.
How many people love James? What should the let's talk about this real quick. We can put it up while we're talking. What's the poll going to be?
Like what percentage of people love James, and you can go like 0 to 30, 30 to 30 to 60, and then 60 to 99, and it won't be everyone.
Should we do this on the Dunktails pod, or should we do it on mine or yours?
I'll do it from Dunktails.
All right, do it.
Or it could be like, does everyone love James? Hey, does everyone love James? It'll be like, you know, hell yeah, meh, or like, hell no. So there you go.
All right, do that. Let's tweet it out while we're talking. It'll be fun. It'll be real-time engagement with the people.
I don't think it's as fun as you think it is, but
probably not. Don't forget to at me in it so that I can see these things. I want to see my timeline blow.
How long has it been since we've done a podcast?
This is the third week. We went 2 weeks without doing one because our schedules just would not line up.
You were ducking me.
Yes, because I was ducking you. I was ducking. That's exactly what it is. I was scared of you because I saw these pictures of you being swole as fuck on the internet. And I'm like, damn, this dude's too swole for me to talk to now.
I mean, I've been working on my fitness. I got my summer body going for the fall.
Nice.
You know?
Nice. Looking sharp. You looking sharp.
Anyway. You go ahead. Take the wheel. Yeah, you start.
I'm going to take the wheel. We're dragging here. This is, nobody cares about this shit. James, since it's been 3 weeks since we've talked, we haven't talked at all about Elton Brand as GM of the Sixers. And I know you probably have some thoughts about this. So what do you think?
It took him forever for whatever reason. But I get it, right? You're going to get a GM for the next, hopefully going forward for the next, you know, 5-10 years, you want to make sure you take your time. But that was pretty ridiculous. They didn't have a GM for the draft. They didn't have a GM for free agency. And I don't know. Is it too many cooks? Is it too many voices that need to be heard before they made a decision? But I listened to Elton. Sounds very competent. He sounds very matter of fact. He sounds intelligent. He has a good balance of experience as a player, and he just has, you know, seems like a really smart guy, a bright guy, and he seems like he interacts well with the players from the way he talks and what the stories he was telling about how he knows guys. And so it's a good pick. You would wish it came 3-4 months ago, but I until we see him, his first personnel move, right? Like, I'll say this, Kobe Altman, in his name, the guy in Cleveland.
Yeah,
we actually gave him high marks for the moves they made that summer, and they didn't turn the pan out, right? So, and then he lost LeBron James, and, you know, he made some maybe questionable moves. So, it's a long-term thing, but I have a good feeling about Elton Brand. How about you?
All right. Well, I mean, there's plenty to say. First of all, the whole thing about, like, yeah, I know a lot of fans were really upset that they took so long to choose a GM, and for a while there, it looked like they were just not moving on it for whatever reason. I know they keep saying they wanted a collaborative effort, but like every team in the league has a collaborative effort, right? You don't just get one guy. I mean, maybe you do get one guy and he just runs the whole show, but I know that they really like Brett Brown. They think of him as one of the foundational pieces, and they should, because that guy's been there for the last 4 years and he's stuck it out and he's coached some really terrible teams, and not once has he ever lost that club. So with all the guys that he's had come and go, I think he does deserve a really strong voice in the front office, at least as far as like a player. I mean, he's a developmental coach, but as far as like maybe not making trades, but as far as like drafting guys, I would want his opinion on what he thinks, you know? It's funny. Did you see what Elton Brand said? What Joel Embiid said about Elton Brand? And I guess you heard the interview, right, with Zach Lowe. So Joel comes out and right away is like, it's funny, man. I just dunked on him 2 years ago. It was like, it was pretty incredible to see, like, you know, the players do have a nice camaraderie with him. I think I learned something about myself. Here's what I'm going to say. I learned something about myself with the Elton Brand pick as GM. First of all, I didn't see it coming. I thought they were going to go Mark Eversley or Ned Cohen. And I was really high on the idea that maybe they would get the guy from Houston, whose name is escaping me right now.
Sasha Baron Cohen?
Yes, yeah, Sasha Baron Cohen. Yes. I was going to say Sasha Gupta. That's not it. What the fuck is it? What is his name?
My wife. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't know. That's you're way over my head, man.
Anyway, he's an analytics guy. He's a Daryl Morey kind of guy. And the funny thing is, like, I don't know anything about his GM experience either. As far as I know, he has none. I mean, he's been an assistant GM, but he hasn't been the GM. Elton Brand has as much experience, really, because he's been the GM of the now Blue Coats in Delaware, the Sixers G League affiliate. But for me, like, when they hired Elton Brand, it shocked me. And I was like, I just didn't see it coming. I love Elton Brand. Don't get me wrong. Like, as a player, he was awesome. Even if his best years weren't in Philadelphia, he gave everything on the court. And every time you heard him talk in the media, he sounded really bright. He knows exactly what's going on. Like, I think he's like a slyly kind of like, he really understands what's happening. You might not just understand that he knows, but he's a very, very intelligent guy. I think it's a great pick. Initially I was a little shocked, and I was thinking, well, why Elton Brand? I mean, he has no experience. But if you would have given me, you know, one of the other guys that are just an analytics geek and have no experience, I probably would have been on board. So I think, you know, it showed me my own bias against guys who have played in the league. And I'm like, well, he has no experience. He just played in the league. He's just going to be an eye test guy. It's, you know, I'm trying to learn to come at these things from every angle and from an open perspective. I love Elton Brand, the player. I love Elton Brand, the person. He seems like a really quality guy. The only thing I worry about is, like, is he going to be able to be in the war room and, like, really have the backbone to get trades done? Someone like Daryl Morey would, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I heard the pod where he said that basically they gave him the final say, right? Because right. Zach was asking him, you know, is it going to be like, hey, we all got to agree or what? Or are you going to be the deciding vote? He was like, yeah, they gave him personnel, you know, carte blanche. He has the final say, so we'll see, man. I'll just say the same ownership group and the same front office that hired Sam Hinkie, you know, they hired Elton Brand. But then you turn around and say that same ownership group had to bring in Colangelo. And I want to say this. I'm gonna put on my foil hat for a minute.
Okay.
I think that the NBA, our boy Silver, kind of stepped in, and, you know, have you heard that conspiracy theory?
Oh my god, dude, you're talking to a Sixers fan. Of course they stepped in. Of course they did.
They stepped in, and they, you know, behind the scenes said, hey, you're going to take Colangelo on because we're tired of this tanking stuff, and he's gonna, you know, so, and which is so hilarious that it blew up in their face the way it did. So
yeah, and I love it. I fucking love it. It's like an FU, like an accidental FU to the league. Like, listen, I like Adam Silver fine. I think he's done a fine job so far. But listen, he really did meddle. They really got involved with the Sixers team. Half of the guys in the front office are league office guys. I think they really, I mean, there's a conspiracy theory that they made a deal with the owners, and like all the owners are pissed off. You have to get rid of Sam Hinkie, or at least bring in, they forced Jerry Colangelo in there. And then Jerry Colangelo was like, here's my son. They went and said they interviewed 75 people, right? They didn't interview shit. So I was going to get back to that. Like, I'm fine that they took their time. Yeah, they took a little bit longer than everyone wanted, and they didn't have somebody for free agency, but I think they did fine in the draft. You know, Brett Brown headed that up, and they had the you know, a bunch of guys in the front office that are really into analytics, and they are scouts, and I think it's a very smart group. And if it's not broken, man, don't mess with it. And I think having Elton Brand as the face of that franchise in some way, I think is amazing. They've had such boneheaded moves and blunders the last couple years with pushing Sam Hinkie out and then getting too big a collar in there and Brian Colangelo. It's just, I'm happy with it.
It's a normal size collar. Find a new slant.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Do you want to move on from that? I don't know. I felt like we should go back and touch on it a little bit because we never gave our opinion. I'm happy about the move. And after hearing Elton Brand actually talk on like Zach Lowe's podcast and on the rights to Ricky Sanchez, where he was phenomenal, I'm all on board. I'm so in.
Was he on the rights to Ricky Sanchez? I got to listen to that one.
Yeah, dude, they did a live podcast. I got to stop plugging their podcast, but I love those guys. But they did a live podcast 2 weeks ago, and he came on. He came on. Dario Sarge came on. It was incredible. Like, you should definitely listen to it. It's really damn good.
You would think so, but, like, you know, we beat him 4-1 in the playoffs. I don't really care. Go ahead. What's next?
All right. What do you think about Dwayne Wade returning to the Heat for one more season for a farewell tour? How do you feel about this?
I'm going to be branded as a hater, of course, because I don't really care about old players on their way out. Like, it's cool. I respect him. I respect what he's done. But, like, I mean, to see Dwayne Wade, the guy who used to average almost 30 a game, and he could be able to dominate a game, and he was one of the best players in the league. Like, hands down, he top 3 or 4 in his prime. Like, to see him now, you know, he's come off the bench, and he averaged 15, averaged 14. That doesn't excite me. It just doesn't excite me. So I get it. It's kind of a sad feeling, right? A nostalgia feeling to see him out there. But for 82 games, you know, after the first week or two, it's going to be like, all right, well, what's next? Like, Dirk, I love Dirk to death. I love what he represents. I love what he did in the league. I'm ready for Dirk to retire. Like, it's you know, he used to be one of the best players in the league, and now he's just, you know, off the bench. He's just kind of doddering around out there. The jumper is beautiful. But other than that, he's just like, it's kind of sad to watch. Like, he gets switched on to any player, and they just lick their chops, and they just destroy him, you know? So it's not really like, I get it. He means a lot to Dallas, so Dallas fans think differently. But I'm ready for him. I was ready for Tim Duncan to retire. I've been waiting for Manu. There's new players, man. There's new stars. Like, your time is come and gone. It's cool. I respect you, what you've done. I want you to be great and be remembered fondly. Watching you average 10 points a game is, like, to me, is just kind of sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. How do you feel about the farewell tour itself? Like, how do you feel about, like, going from stadium to stadium to get these goodbye videos and celebrations of your career? How do you feel about that? Because for me, I don't know, I'm with you. Like, it's super fucking cheesy for me. I just don't care. The way Kobe did it was atrocious. I was appalled because this is a guy who made his career about out of, like, nobody likes me and I don't care. I don't like anybody else. And then, oh, he's farewell. Let's all, like, kiss his ass. He's a legend, you know. What do you think?
I'm with you, man, because, like, I think back in the day, right, they used to do this back in the day for players when they, you know, I'm trying to think of one player. Some player did it, and they gave him, I think maybe Alonzo Mourning or something. They gave him, like, a rocking chair. So it's been done before, but it felt more organic before. But I think the social media age, because we have so much of these players now, it's like, it's just different. You know, so maybe I'm just being a curmudgeon, I guess. Whatever. Respect to Dwayne Wade, you know, and I know that people, maybe Miami fans are going to jump on me and kill me for this one, but whatever. It's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's sad to see Dwayne Wade leave, like, after this season, right? I love Dwayne Wade. He was one of my favorite players for many years. He was dynamic as hell. The things he could do on the court. There's, like, you know, I guess Bill Simmons talks about this a lot. There's those guys that, you know, when your team is playing him, you actually fear them on the court. They're like, this guy's going to destroy our team. That was Dwayne Wade for me, man. Like, every time the Sixers had to play him or anyone, I just really enjoyed watching him. I actually tuned into Miami Heat games to watch him play. It's going to be sad to see him go, but again, he's not been the same player for years. At least two. He had that, like, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, he had that really incredible playoff run. And since then, it's just not been, you know, the same guy. And it's sad, but it happens to all of us.
When was that playoff run?
It's got to be 3 years ago.
When did LeBron leave Miami? Because that's the last time I remember Dwayne Wade doing anything really of note.
I think there was a year after that. Maybe it was when he was in Chicago. I don't know. I honestly don't remember, but I remember he gave us something. But it hasn't been for a long time. Do you want to move on?
Yes, please.
All right, let's move on. There's this funny little, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know. I think it was on some sort of cable program, like cooking show or something, but DeMar DeRozan was hanging out with Serge Ibaka. And on this show, they had a bet. They have a running bet now that DeMar will drop 50 on the Raptors. What do you think about that? Do you think DeMar's actually going to get 50 on the Raptors?
No. I mean, so we all know it can go one of two ways. We saw when Carmelo Anthony and I think when Paul George went back home last season, they both stung up the joint because there's too much emotion, right? They're too hype, too much emotion. Or a guy can go, you know, back to his old team and just, like, you know, scorch. He just goes nuts. Just rarely seem like it's ever. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of hyperbole. It's never in between. So, you know, hey, DeRozan's a mid-range assassin. And guess who's going to be guarding him probably? It's going to be Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he might have been off a little more than he can shoot. But it's all good fun between friends. And this is why the NBA is the best league, right? Because in football, sure, you get traded, whatever. It's different. It's just different. Now he's going to go mano a mano against the same guys he used to like be in the trenches with. And it's going to be fun. So that's why it's going to be fun to see. And hopefully he gets hot for at least a quarter and kind of goes off. But I doubt that, you know, Kawhi and OG Anunoby let him go too bonkers.
Absolutely. If Kawhi stays healthy, there's no way DeMar's getting fucking 50. I'm sorry, dude. It's not happening. Listen, DeMar DeRozan is a really good player, and he has every right to want to get his team when he gets there. And I love exactly what you're saying. The guys having, like, it's two friends. They played on the same team together for like 3 years. Like, of course they have a familiarity with one another, and they're gonna try and razz each other and get the best out of one another. That is beautiful. And the fact that we get to see it now with this social media everywhere.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Is this 1952?
No, why did I use Raz?
What's happening here?
Well, let's see, you young whippersnappers. They're gonna. I don't know what's another word for it, James. They're gonna rib each other. They're gonna. I don't know.
Rib. Holy shit, dude! You really are like a 75-year-old white man. Holy crap!
Kind of. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, what? Yeah, they're gonna put the shine on each other.
All right. Anyway, yes, I'm old. I'm an old man. Sorry. But no, it's like I was talking about how it's nice to see in the social media age where like it brings you behind the curtain. You get to see these experiences.
Look at those young fellows ribbing on each other. Look at those young fellows ribbing on each other. Oh, happy day.
Happy day. Look at those young fellows go. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Huzzah.
Wait, we just crossed into like fantasy territory here. I'm not doing any role playing.
All right, while we're talking about social media, Kevin Love raised kind of an uproar on social media, probably with his comments to Miss Katie Nolan. You got the sound queued up. Let's hear what he had to say to Katie Nolan.
All right, here we go.
Sometimes you just have to throw like a emoji or something just to test the temperature.
Are you sliding into celebrity DMs with an emoji?
Yeah.
And follow-up question, which one?
You know, there's obviously a few you want to stay away from. I know that there's probably a few people and a few callers in there that have, you know, kind of towed the line with...
Eggplant.
Yeah, that's exactly...
Skip
exactly
the eggplant.
It. Yeah.
I just get a lot of eggplants.
Oh, you get
in
a lot of eggplants.
DMs.
Yeah, I'm sure you get the real eggplant every
it works.
Once in a while, too.
It works so...
What was that? I'm sure. And he gives her this sly look like, I'm sure you get the real eggplant. Like, looks at her like, what the fuck, Kevin Love?
I'm speechless, man. Like, first of all, Kevin Love, you're Kevin Love. Why are you sliding in strangers' DMs with emojis at, like, 30-something years old?
Yeah.
Second of all, I can almost make an excuse for him and say maybe he's just saying, like, I'm sure you get like inappropriate pictures also besides just emojis, but yeah, that's a weird thing to say. So he definitely is saying that, you know, to quote J.R. Smith, Katie Nolan gets the pipe sometimes. And that's a weird thing to say.
Well, I mean, and especially in this climate, this age we are in right now, the Me Too movement is very powerful. And like, I think everybody realizes that men have had it too good for too long. And we got away with a lot of shit. And to say something like this on TV in front of people that just looks like such male chauvinist bullshit, it's not a good look, man. It's really tone deaf. It's not self-aware at all. And like, I get if you're like, you're goofing up and maybe he just meant that maybe she gets a lot of those, right? No, it's probably not what he meant.
No, he said the real eggplant.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. But was he coming on to her?
I don't know, man. It's just, you know what? Here's the big difference is like 10 years ago, this could have happened. It would have been a line in a magazine or a newspaper, and that would have been it. It'd been weird.
Mm-hmm.
This clip is viral now, right? Everything. So, like, I don't know if. And I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything about any backlash. I don't know. I don't want Kevin Love to get in trouble. But I don't know how. I don't know. It definitely was inappropriate. But then the whole conversation was kind of inappropriate anyway, right? She was like, "Yeah, I get a lot of eggplants," and she's laughing about it.
Yeah.
So But I'm not excusing Kevin Love. It's just a really, it's not a good look for Kevin Love.
Yeah, it was a really awkward conversation. I mean, like, she was being playful and fun, and I get that. And like, she handled it really well when he said that. She just kind of like glossed right over it and didn't, and kept rolling and just kept going and didn't say a word. I imagine a very attractive woman who's in her position gets this shit all the time. As I imagine all attractive and you know, just regular women in general get this shit all the time from dudes who are just, you know, it's the male thing, man. Like, it got me thinking about Kavanaugh again. Anyway, like,
but you know what? So again, though, and this is, I hate when I'm not trying to play devil's advocate. It's like it's they're having that conversation, and she kind of broached it. You know, she's like, "Oh yeah, eggplant." She laughed. So, it, and this is where. Yeah, I don't know, man.
No, it's just, don't do it. No,
hold on. I'm going to finish my thought. I think you're like, don't do it. Like, I'm not saying anything crazy. It's for Kevin Love. Yeah, you got to just avoid those kind of things. And that was like, he took it a step further. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just wasn't a good look for Kevin.
No.
And there's no blaming her. It's one of those things, like, in a private conversation, it would have went, who knows where it went, and maybe she would have reacted differently if the camera wasn't on, maybe. You know what I mean? She wouldn't have just laughed it off or whatever. So it's yeah.
Well, she handled it like a total pro. I think he probably realized, even in the moment after he said it, he probably realized that it was not a great thing to say. Either way, it does speak to like the machismo around sports, and I don't know, it's just unfortunate, and it's a bad look. But, you know, I mean, it also...
Yeah, I was just shocked. It was
shocking. Yeah. It was kind of shocking. I don't want to make a huge, huge deal out of it, but it does speak to like the position women are constantly in all the time. And we don't even realize it. And it's just like, it's basically the same thing as coded language. The way you speak to people and the things you say, and, you know, inherently puts them in a position where they have to react one way or the other. And when you're putting them in a bad position like that, it's not good, man. So I don't
Absolutely.
Know. Shame on Kevin Love, but you know, moving on. I don't. What are you gonna do? It was kind of goofy. It's kind of funny.
The only thing I'll say is I don't know him and her relationship. I don't know if they have a previous, are they friends where like they joke like that. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We've only seen that clip. And maybe we should have done some research before we got on the show and saw the backlash was from this. You know what I mean? Because I've seen cases like that where, from the outside looking in, you think, "Oh my God, that's so inappropriate," and then the woman's like, "No, this is how me and him are. This is our relationship." You know?
Yeah, so, but even still, like, even if it is, don't do that on the fucking TV, man. Like, because people, you know, we don't get the benefit of that conversation. We don't get the benefit of that relationship. We get what we see, and it didn't look good. Anyway, moving on. That's neither here nor there. I did think it needed to be talked about, but. In line with like really bizarre and silly things and things that make you feel weird. How do you feel about Space Jam 2 getting made?
Hold on. I want to make sure that we run tie bow on that one.
All right, go ahead.
Yes. That was not a good look for Kevin Love.
Agreed.
I'm saying it unequivocally. So there's no, like, well, you were trying to, no, I wasn't trying to say anything because it's true. We don't know about shit, but still, no matter what, on TV, that's not a good look for Kevin Love.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
Space Jam 2, I don't give a shit.
I was gonna say, speaking of not good looks, yeah, you don't give a shit at all. You don't care. You're not interested in the cast.
I haven't seen part one.
Neither have I. All right, we have nothing to talk about with this. This is kind of great. I know.
I mean, it's cool for kids. It's cool for kids, and I know I've seen the people. Oh, let's. Who should be the Monstars? That's all great. Whatever. I just don't.
Yeah, I really can't get worked up to give a shit about this. I will say one thing, though. If Joel Embiid is not in this movie, it's going to be a damn shame because that dude is the most charismatic person.
You can't say you don't get down for the movie and then complain and want Joel Embiid in the movie. All right? It's one or the other.
All right. I guess I care a little bit. But, like, I've never even seen the first one. To be honest with you, James, I tried to watch it, like, about 5 years ago. I think it was on HBO for, like, a couple of months. And I was like, I'm going to sit down and watch this damn movie because I've never seen it before. I love Bugs Bunny growing up. It's NBA history. And like everybody talks about this movie and references it all the time. The Monstars and Michael Jordan. I got to sit down and watch this movie. You know how far I got into that fucking movie? 10 minutes. I could not take it. I was like, this is 10 minutes of my life that I want back immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be good for kids again, right? It's gonna be a kids movie, and maybe people with a little nostalgia, you know, oh, LeBron, like Michael, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right, cool. Moving on. LeBron is a Laker. How do you feel about it? And follow-up question. Did you see any of the games?
I like the fact that so... I did, and he's LeBron. The rest of the team is a weird mismatch around him. Rondo's looks good so far in preseason. JaVale's looked good. What's the kid's name?
Kuzma?
Josh. Josh Hart looks good.
Yeah. Josh Hart looked good without him, though.
Yeah, Kuzma. Yeah, he did. I'm not no, and LeBron barely played, so it's not like I'm saying LeBron makes these guys look good. But LeBron's done some LeBron things, a couple nice passes. Rondo's really looked good again. So, it's. I mean, it's still very interesting. I don't – they're not going to be very good. Well, hold on. Let me change that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're going to be yet. I don't know what they're going to be because I'm not sure what those guys around him are going to do, you know, in game 30, game 45, when other teams are starting to lock in and actually play hard. You know what I mean? So
yeah. I don't know. I think I've talked to you about this a little bit. I feel two ways about it. Like, I love LeBron James, the player. I love LeBron James, the social advocate and what he's done for his community and building a school. I love that LeBron is vocal, anti-elite, you know, anti fucking Donald Trump. Like, I love what he stands for. I love his game. I think he's probably the best player of all time. It's awesome. And at the same time, now I have to try and somehow make that happen, like make my enjoyment of LeBron, like, not make me want to throw up watching the Lakers, because I don't want to watch him on the Lakers. I have to find peace within myself because he's on this team. It makes me crazy.
You don't, though. You don't. No, you don't. Here's the thing. You don't have to enjoy LeBron. You don't have to. Like, you can respect what he does. This is along in the same vein when people were saying, if you don't like the Warriors, you don't like basketball. That's not true.
Right.
You cannot like LeBron and not like you. So I don't feel like that. LeBron's going to do things that are just going to knock your socks off.
Of course.
You know what I mean? But I'm still going to enjoy every Lakers loss.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, I'm going to enjoy still watching LeBron play, which means I have to enjoy watching him play on the team that I hate maybe the most in the world, in the LA Lakers. And listen, you know, this is me coming at it as a Philly fan. If we're just talking about basketball, sure, I love it. Doesn't matter. The Lakers is still an NBA team. They're a historied franchise, and it's going to be fun to see what he can do with Kuzma and Lonzo Ball maybe and Josh Hart and see if he can get those guys to come along, or if he'll get them traded and everything will just fall apart by midseason. It's going to be a really weird dynamic, you know? Imagine, like, he got there, and this is what we were talking about. This is what Spike Eskin said. I was totally on board with him. Remember when we talked to Kelly Dwyer, when we had him on the podcast, and I was saying, I don't really want LeBron James to come to Philly? This is exactly what I was talking about. When LeBron James comes to your team, he becomes the GM of your team, and he brings the LeBron effect to that team. As soon as he got to LA, they signed Rondo, they signed JaVale McGee, they signed, what's his face, the blue in his ear? It's like Lance Stephenson. And they put, what you said, this mishmash of team, I mean, of players around him. And it just doesn't seem like, I don't know what they're trying to do, but it does make me want to kind of watch just to see if it'll fall apart.
So, like, that must have been on the Superfly pod. You didn't have him on with us. Oh, no, we did have Kelly
on. We did. What are you talking about?
You know, I was thinking about my boy, the other Kelly, not Kelly Dwyer. But, yeah, no, we did. And, like, I mean, the same way I felt with Boston, right? I was like, LeBron is awesome. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't want my team to be LeBron and the other Celtics. I don't want that.
Right.
And people call us crazy, right? Best player in the league. How could you not want it? It's sometimes in the same way we don't want Kevin Durant to go to the Warriors. Right. We want the spirit of competition. We want to see things grow. We want to see things be organic. And so, yeah, LeBron just kind of going to the Lakers. It's cool. It's great for the Lakers. It's great for his brand. It's great for... I think it's going to really help Ingram and Kuzma to play with LeBron James in practice and to see him up close. For That's sure. cool. It's just, yeah, it's, I don't know. And, you know, I guess the whole goal is next year, have that cap space and get Jimmy Butler or whoever, Kawhi.
Anthony Davis. Not,
yeah.
Just signed, you know, with Clutch Sports and might be trying to force it. He might, you know, we didn't have this on the rundown, but what do you think about that? So AD just signed with LeBron's.
I think that he has 2 years left on his contract. And I think that's not a case like Paul George, It's not a case like even Jimmy Butler, right? When you're in the last year, he has 2 years left on that deal.
I was going to say, but we've seen before guys force their way off of teams. It doesn't matter. Like Jimmy Butler just forced himself. Well, he's again in the last year of his contract. You're right, but you can force your way off a team. And if he's there and the Pelicans don't make the playoffs again this year and things start to fall apart, even though I think they have some decent pieces around him and I think they're going to be a playoff team, if it starts to go south, like he could just, you know, say, look, this next year is my next year is my last year. I'm not coming back. I want to trade. And I think they would have to trade him because otherwise.
Well, see, they'd have to trade him. But I mean, well, I guess, yeah, if he says I'm going to L.A. or bust, like, well, I mean, I don't know. Paul George tried that and they traded him somewhere else and he ended up staying. So I don't know, man. I feel like we're disrespecting the Pelicans fans and the Pelicans in general, because it's for the last, I think, 2 or 3 years, every summer it's been, oh, Anthony Davis is going to demand a trade.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is going to go to Boston. Anthony Davis is going to go somewhere else. Yeah.
Every year, every 6 months it comes up. And then, you know, so I get it, you know, signing with clutches. It's kind of a, you know, a new thing about it, but yeah, I don't know. I'm tired of the speculation of every player who's decent going to the Lakers.
But I mean, this is what LeBron started too. This is the league we're in. This is the lifetime we're living right now. This is what the reality of the thing is. The players, and rightfully so, hold the keys to their own career. They hold the key to their own brand. For the most part, they are in charge, and it's great. Like, you should have the players in charge. But it also, when they realize, you know, franchises aren't going to be loyal to you if you can't play anymore, why would they be loyal to the franchise? So player movement, you know, now is at an all-time high. I don't know if it's an all-time high, but, like, really top-level stars have flexibility and have the ability to move to a different team like they've never had before. It's really interesting to watch, but it's also like, it's no wonder, like, we're constantly thinking about, is this guy going to move? Is he going to demand a trade? Like, what if they can't put a team around him? So it makes perfect sense. And when you see something like this happen on, you know, on the periphery of what he's doing, it's like, you know, he signed with Clutch Sports. Well, that's LeBron James's crew. And like, if LeBron James wants to team up with Anthony Davis in LA, because you know this year is just like a stopgap year, and next year they're going after marquee free agents, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and I agree with you that in the last 15 years, we've seen more player movement than we ever have before from stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starting with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Chris Paul. Like, yeah, it's, you know,
Carmelo forced his way on the Lakers.
Kevin Garnett, Carmelo, like, it's on the Lakers. What are you talking about?
Oh, did I say the Lakers? I'm sorry, the Knicks.
On the Knicks, and yeah, so like, it's true, man. I think at the top of the league, we're seeing more and more players, and that's good. It's a good thing, but yeah, it's wild, man. Anthony Davis, he's coming into his own. Does he want to go play with LeBron James? Why not? That'd be a great pairing. Is that enough? You know, because if they're going to trade for him, they're going to give all those young guys, right? At least a couple of them. So, like,
but I think that's fine with LeBron. He's got his old guys there. He's got his old crew. You know how he rolls. He'll trade the young guys in a heartbeat because they're not ready to go now. He wants Rondo's on his team. He wants JaVale's on his team. He wants Lance Stephenson on his team for God knows what reason. And if you have to give up Kyle Kuzma, you have to give up Josh Hart, you even have to give up Lonzo Ball, so be it. I mean, honestly, if you're the GM of that team and you could have Anthony Davis for Lonzo and the other guys, including Ingram, maybe, wouldn't you do it?
I mean, of course. But, I mean, yeah, that's fine. I don't. The thought of Anthony Davis joining LeBron James in Lakeland just kind of bums me out. I'd rather see him with somebody young and kind of a new kind of attack, but you know, it'd be cool, whatever.
For sure, totally. Do you want to move on? Speaking of speaking of player movement, so everybody has seen these articles come out about how the Knicks think they can get KD. Like, they think they seriously have a shot at him. What do you think about this? Do you think that's actually legitimately possible? Could Kevin Durant actually go to the Knicks next year? And what would that team look like?
So I thought that LeBron James would not go back to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that there was no way that Kevin Durant would go join the Warriors. I thought there was no way Paul George would re-sign in OKC. I thought that, you know, Kawhi Leonard would be set up in San Antonio for the next 15 years. So the only thing we know is what we don't know. Kevin Durant seems to be a different kind of cat, right? He wanted to go to the Warriors about basketball, but it was also more than basketball. He's still part of his growth and trying to find himself, and I believe that. He's got another 1+1 deal, so he can opt out next summer. I mean, can you see him winning another championship with the Warriors, which is a good chance it happens, and being Finals MVP again, which is a good chance that happens, and then just saying, all right, that's enough, I'm leaving? Is it possible? It's possible, sure. Is it probable? I don't think so.
But like you just said, all we know is that we don't know. Honestly, I could see, like, if he wins another championship, if he wins another Finals MVP, like, his cup is full, right? He has the ability to do anything he wants now. The world is open to him. He comes back to the East
Coast. What do you mean his cup is full?
Well, like, he's not wanting for anything anymore. Now the thing he wants is to show people that he can be the leader on his own team, right? The way to do
that. What's more than 3 rings?
4 rings.
Okay, so and what are the chances that they win 4 rings?
I mean, there's a good chance. There's a really good chance. They're a super dominant team. What, you think he would just go back for that fourth, for the chance at a fourth ring? I honestly think that, like, his, I think.
The fourth, fifth, whatever, you know, like, why not?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, the counterbalance to that is that I think that he really is interested in, like, showing people that, because you hear him talk about it all the time. You saw him in Media Day the other day talking about, like, I never get the respect that I'm due because I came to the Warriors and it's already a great team. I have to do so much more than other guys to get recognized as a defensive player. They're never going to look at me as DPOY. And like, he has a chip on his shoulder for sure. He realizes now that, like, you know, going to the Warriors made him a heel. I mean, I think he's known it for a while, but that he's not going to get the respect that he wants. And I think the way he might be looking at that and saying to himself, I need to go to a young team and take this team to the playoffs, maybe to the finals, and then people will start to realize that I am that damn good. And I really do think, maybe not New York, but I don't think he stays in Golden State for the rest of his career.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I can't read Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? It's hard to get a read on him. The whole burners, and he's really thin-skinned. He's such a great player. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, we already know that it's weird in Golden State. He's appreciated, but it's kind of like because they won without him also that they're kind of like, you know, like I got like Andy Lou says, you know, Steph better. Like no matter what he does, Steph is beloved, Dre's beloved, Clay is beloved, and yeah. KD is appreciated. Like, hey, thanks, KD. You're part of the team. So yeah, I mean, imagine it. He goes, he plays with Kristaps Porzingis, Kevin Knox blooms into that, you know, that mm-hmm. third player they kind of need. They're long, they're defensive, and you know, let's say Frankie Smokes actually gets on the court for whatever, you know, he's not starting still, which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
Frankie Smokes gets on the court and he's long, he can defend, you know, 2 through 3. Like, I don't know, Coach Fizdale, he's a culture changer. He comes in there and actually, you know, the Knicks aren't quite a joke this season. Who knows? I doubt it, but I mean, it's New York still has an appeal that, you know, no matter how bad the team's been for how long, it's still New York. So who knows?
Absolutely, man. I know they're going to go for it, and I hope they do. If they get him, I don't know, but it would be, I got to say, it would be kind of awesome to see. I would love to have Kevin Durant off of the Warriors and in New York so I could actually go see him play. but I don't know, man. I don't know if it'll happen. I think you have to have high aspirations if you're an NBA team, right? You have to want to shoot for the stars. So go for it, guys. Go for it. Good luck.
Oh, hey, they're going to pitch the hell out of them. Yeah, they should.
They absolutely should.
So did the Celtics, and so did the Clippers, and so did all these other teams when he was a free agent before. So it's
the
the Wizards. That was embarrassing.
By the way,
we had a whole campaign all season about bring KD home, and he was like, nah, I'm good.
By the way, so far, it's hell nah for 53% of the vote.
No one likes me, dude.
I love you. Anyway, we'll move on. Let's wrap it up with the, what were we talking about? The GM poll? Is that what the thing is?
The GM poll on NBA.com.
Yeah, the GM survey, the 2018-19 GM survey. Are there any things that you really want to take a look at and want to point out?
I just love the fact that Boston dominated as far as all the GMs. Boston got 90% of the vote for, you know, best team in the East, and I think Philly got, what, 7%?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Something like that.
That was really cool, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. They asked you.
And you know what? I think it tells, hey, man, Philly had a kind of disappointing summer this year. I get it. But I think because everyone thought that this was the year that they'd add another kind of key piece in free agency. Mm-hmm. And I get it. The spin is, what actually happens is, like, Fultz comes back. He's looking like he might be, you know, ready to roll this year. And that's really good. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, you guys could have Fultz back and sign somebody for impact this year. But I get it. I mean, it's all about who wants to take the money. If they don't want to come, they don't want to come.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a big thing for me. And, like, you know, only three teams really got votes for who's going to win the finals. It was Golden State, and then Boston and Houston both have slim chances, according to the GM, 7% each.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden State.
90.
So that's yeah, that's really cool to me.
All right. Anything else? Other? Do you want to talk about, like, so here's one of them. If you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? And 30% of the GMs chose Giannis, followed by Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, and then Joel Embiid at sixth. You have any qualms with this?
I'm kind of shocked that right now LeBron is still at number four at 17%.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm trying to think
Do you think he would be higher or lower?
Man, I'm thinking, if I'm starting a franchise, I wouldn't want 33-year-old LeBron to be the guy to start with.
34.
34-year-old LeBron. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have that many years. So, no, I thought he'd be lower.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I thought Steph would be a little higher. Steph's at five, so.
Yeah, same. What do you think about Giannis as number one?
It makes sense. It's either him or Anthony Davis. I thought maybe Anthony Davis would be number one.
Yeah.
Giannis is great, man. He's here's my thing with that is that he's a lot like LeBron as far as, you know, physically imposing, and he can dominate, but there's only one LeBron.
Right.
Matthew Dellavedova, right? Everyone was saying, oh, he's perfect for Milwaukee because look what he did with LeBron. Giannis will unlock him similarly. It's just not the same.
No.
Giannis just doesn't – I think teams will let Giannis go for 35 because Giannis he's just not LeBron. He's not making guys better. He's not going to give you that 8-9 assists on top of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's different. It's just different that, hey, LeBron, hey, let Giannis go ahead and dominate his man. If we keep scoring, we'll be in a good position.
Right.
So it's just different, man. So I would actually put Anthony Davis number one. So that one's kind of weird to me. But yeah.
Here's one I have a bone to pick with. Which team will be the most improved, or which team will be most improved in 2018-19? And 80% of the GMs send to the Lakers. Like, no fucking shit, man. That's just lazy. Like, it's just goddamn lazy. Can you do a little bit deep digging? Like, can we just disqualify the Lakers automatically? They got LeBron. Of course they're going to be improved. Like, it doesn't – I don't even know why people ask the question. It bothers me.
Well, somebody else raised a good point on Twitter. They were like, a lot of these GMs just hand this over to an assistant or somebody else. They answer you to send it back, you know. So I don't think people put a lot of thought into it. Like, again, Jason Tatum and – Brandon Ingram and Jamal Murray, like, breakout season, those are easy. These are easy choices. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody actually voted Kawhi Leonard for breakout season. The guy's been a freaking finals MVP.
I know. I saw that. It's ridiculous.
Now, this is very interesting, too. I don't know. You tell me what you think about this.
Go ahead.
Best point guard in the NBA. Steph is runaway number one.
Mm-hmm.
Some people actually voted for Russell Westbrook, you know, 17%. Kyrie Irving and Chris Paul are tied for third.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a respectable list. I'm trying to think of who else I would put in there besides.
Shocked that Kyrie is up there with Chris Paul, because for the longest, the standard's been it's Steph Curry, and then, you know, I guess up to your taste, Russell Westbrook / Chris Paul, and then after that, everyone falls in line. And for the longest, it was like John Wall, you know,
right,
Kyrie's
right.
Down. 6th, 7th, 8th best point guard. So that's.
I mean, if we're talking pure shooting guard, like Kyle Lowry has to be on that list. I don't know. There's a bunch of guys, but yeah, if you're talking about the best, you're right. It's surprising to see Kyrie that high. I think more of Kyrie. I just think of him as like a late clock ultimate scorer. I don't think of him as like a pure point guard. And honestly, I know it's really too soon to say this, but like Ben Simmons is a fucking phenomenal point guard who doesn't really shoot that much, but gets everyone involved in the game.
Doesn't shoot that much.
that's beating you.
Okay, you put that. I'm gonna buy you a shoot a three, you coward shirt.
Please do. I will wear it if you buy it. But I will never buy one myself. It is pretty fucking hilarious. But you have any other things, James? Or do you want to do some Twitter questions, or are we going to wrap it up for tonight?
How do you feel knowing that your boy Ben Simmons says this was his first year practicing his shooting?
I'm not concerned in the least. He's working on a shot. It's going to take time, man. Like, he came in with a gross shot. It's not pretty. He's, you know, a lot of people speculated he's shooting with the wrong hand, which may or may not be true. Either way, it needs work. The thing is, I'm not that concerned because Ben can still get to the rim at will. He's still an amazing passer, and he's so good on the defensive end. He's a wrecking ball. He's like LeBron James light. It's going to take some time to get the shot there. So I'm not concerned. Would I like to see him shoot at least one three this season? Yes, it would be great. Not one from half court. I would like to see him get up a couple of 3-point shots. But we'll see. What do you think about your boys being healthy?
Who's that? Kyrie and Gordon Hayward?
Yeah. Is Hayward not quite 100% yet?
No, dude, he was out for a whole year. So
yeah, of course.
His conditioning sucks. He doesn't have that much explosion. You can just tell, like, you know, he did a good job keeping his body in shape. But all NBA players will tell you this. There is no substitution for conditioning than actual gameplay. No matter what they do, bikes and all that, until they get to an actual NBA game against NBA athletes, there's no way to get really working your conditioning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can see it. He looks off. His timing's off. He's just, you know, he's thinking a little bit. And shots off. It's fine.
Are you concerned now?
No. No, because, I mean, he's dunking and stuff. It's going to take him. I'll say it's going to take him. If he's still looking really weird 25 games in, then I'm concerned.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm giving him a full, 20 games. I'm giving him a full fourth of the season before. Yeah, because they're going to – it's not about his individual dominance. It's about how he fits. So he's not hitting shots right now. You know, like I say, there's no explosion right now. It's gonna come.
All right. James, you want to save the Twitter questions for next week?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Let's either next week. We can go again this week if you got time. But yeah, next week.
This is my third podcast in 3 nights. I'm tired. Maybe. Maybe.
Who's your papa?
You know. All right, buddy. In that case, why don't you tell everybody where they find us, and we'll leave.
Check us out on Twitter. The Dunktales pod, at Dunktales pod. You can find him at Joe Borelli. Hey, Joe Borelli, B-O-E-L-L-I, Joe Borelli. And you can check me out and check out my buff AV, my buff on at Snotty Dripping. And check us out on iTunes. Are we on Stitcher yet?
I don't know. I have to check because I keep saying we're on Stitcher, but it might be a lie. We're going to get on Stitcher.
And if we're not, check us out anyway. And then check it. Are we? No, we need to be on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get on Spotify. I think we are on. Maybe we're not. I'll have to look. I'll have to do all the homework.
Hey, guys, just look up Dunktales Pod on every podcast freaking listening platform you can and follow us and give us 5 stars.
Yes. And review the podcast. Rate and review.
Hey, and guess what, guys? I got some good news. I'm ordering a new microphone this weekend.
Thank fucking God. Don't forget to get some good headphones, too.
You son of a bitch.
All right, James. I will talk to you maybe later this week. Let me know what your schedule is like.
I will. And, hey, are you done recording?
No. We're still going.
I'm going to say, hey, so listeners, if I break up a lot in this podcast, yell at me on Twitter, and that will help motivate me to get the new – oh, yeah. Hit me up on Twitter, at Snotty Drippin, and tell me what kind of microphone I need to get. Are you podcast folk?
Yeah.
Hey.
Do it.
All right, man.
Do it, people. All right, James. I'm positive.